Hey, happy Tuesday. It is Rumor Innuendo, and I am Dominic D'Angelo of Ad Free Shows, SCScoops.com, several other outlets, but I'm here today with former WWE writer Robert Karpolis, WWE creative underscore ish. Robert, how are you today?
Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, wherever you are listening. I am doing great. We'll start off today with a quick shout out. We always like to say to those folks joining us in the chat. Christopher Zanto said, good morning, folks, and let's get ready to Billy and the CW. Chris, we were going to. However, breaking news from the Impulsive. Logan Paul just announced this now. We're jump-starting the run sheet, Dom. SummerSlam officially confirmed to take place in Cleveland.
Wow.
There have been rumors for a little while now. But on the Impulsive podcast, Logan Paul announced that it will take place at Cleveland Browns Stadium on August 3rd, and he has called out LeBron James for a match. Whether the match happens, who the hell knows? It's definitely going to have a pay-per-view, a premium live event, dang it, in Cleveland. Interesting city to have a premium live event, but there you go.
How about that? Wow. I'm sure we'll be cover plenty of that.
Look, when you think tropical weather, when you think summertime, the first thing that comes to your mind is Ohio.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't beat that lake effect, you know? So hey, guess what's right in the middle of that in Philadelphia is Pittsburgh. So it's easy transit for me.
You get to go to everything. I'm all due respect to Cleveland. I'm not going to Ohio. I'm sure it's lovely that time of year, but if I wasn't willing to go drive to Tampa for the Royal Rumble, I'm not driving all the way to Cleveland, Ohio, unless something changes, unless Conrad's like, guys, we're going to do a big top guy event. We want y'all to be there. It's going to be great. And, help sell some mortgages that's 80% of my conversations with Conrad, always just ends with something about mortgages. But we're not here to talk about mortgages. We're not here to talk about Conrad. We are here to talk pro wrestling news. Dom, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, we got quite the lineup, quite the diverse lineup, too, to be honest.
Why would you lie? I'm honest.
I never lie. So we got, there's an AEW split of two stars that we're very notable with. We're going to talk that WWE lawsuit and some developments on that or little names, so to speak. But as we should, we are starting off with WWE Raw and what happened on it. Sami Zayn is going to be your Intercontinental Championship number one contender as he faces Gunther in Philadelphia. But he had to go through a gauntlet, and it was down to him and Chad Gable, and Sami Zayn ended up winning with a roll-up. Robert, what did you think of this match and the ending of it, so to speak?
If you've been listening to this show since day one, if you were an OG rumor and innuendoer, I've been saying that it looked like Sami Zayn and Gunther was the path for WrestleMania all the way back at Survivor Series time when we were looking at the future of what everything held. I said that would be the ideal match. It's a good story for Sami Zayn. It's a good opportunity for the crowd to get behind him and to put a title on him. And seeing Sami as a guy who can work with just about anybody, you're continuing that narrative that the Intercontinental title is the workhorse championship. I think it looks like Drew is probably going to wind up beating Seth. So having a heel world champion, a babyface Intercontinental champion, it gives a nice balance. It gives the folks on the roster something to do. The gauntlet match itself, overall, I enjoyed it. It's a little tough because some of those matches play by like the old Survivor Series rules where guy gets beat by a clothesline. Like you got to get the matches done. You got to get the matches done quickly. So it's tough when you have to beat five guys in a match. The emotional finish with Gable, with the bloody mouth and trying to make Sammy tap. It was good, except from my vantage point, the audience didn't really know how to be reacting. There's part of the audience that's been on board for this whole Sami Zayn's the challenger. He was so white hot a year ago. We want to see that guy back. And then part of the audience really believed in that Chad Gable video package and this guy who's trying to fight for the honor of his child. He wants to right the wrong that happened before. They didn't know where to go. I know we brainstormed yesterday the idea of somebody taking out Gable. Went the other way, Dom. They had, you know, Bronson Reed hit the tsunami on Sammy, and Sammy still overcame all and is your number one contender. What did you think of the match?
I really did like the last several minutes of it. That whole play of Chad Gable just not giving up on that ankle lock, like, and still tying him up with it and keep it in there. It's always curious to have that kind of sequence go down inside of the ring, especially in front of a big arena like that, because people are kind of curious about what is Sammy doing? Is he going to tap or is he not going to tap? So from that perspective of the live crowd reaction might give a different kind of viewpoint, I guess, to it, if that makes sense. But I think it was fun. I was more on the side, like, I think Gable was going to win this thing because of what they did with the video package and that kind of thing. And then I could also see Sammy was really hammering the fact home that he needed this championship. He needed to prove himself and come back into the mix and all that stuff. And then if the rug got pulled out from under him and something like that, we could see a good heel turn from Sammy again or something like that, where you further storyline moving forward with Sammy. But I'm still not disappointed with it. I think, Sammy's still a great competitor and will be a good one for Gunther. It is kind of interesting to kind of think if Sammy does win that title, because, like, you think if it was going to be Gunther and Brock Lesnar, I was going to assume that Gunther was going to get the win over Brock Lesnar. Now, are they going to pivot from that, maybe, potentially? So something to kind of think about too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pivoting going on. It feels like Gunther, if he was going to wrestle Brock at Mania, was probably going to retain, with Seth most likely going over Punk and building to a Seth Rollins Gunther match at Elimination Chamber. What's the there's a pay-per-view they have coming up in Germany.
Something in Berlin, Bash at Berlin?
Bash at Berlin, yeah, something like, sure, let's call it Bash at Berlin. Let's name it. or SummerSlam in Cleveland, somewhere where we would have had the Intercontinental Champion Gunther versus the World Champion Seth Rollins. With Punk going down, they had to change what's happening with Seth. It feels as though the momentum now is with Drew McIntyre winning the world title. So that would necessitate a little bit of a change, and Sammy winning the Intercontinental title here feels like an interesting story. Maybe it's Gunther trying to regain it at one of these other shows. I think the pay-per-view after this, is that the one in France? Yeah. I know Backlash is coming. Yeah. French-Canadian Sami Zayn. Maybe the French will embrace him. There's always a little bit of tension between the French and the French-Canadians. Yes. But Sami Zayn is just a universally beloved guy. And I thought it was a really interesting touch that they mentioned that it was the start of Ramadan and that Sammy had been fasting during the day, which is part of the practice of the observation of Ramadan. And it's even more interesting that they were in Houston, because when I think of athletes in Ramadan, I think of Hakeem Olajuwon. That was always kind of the narrative whenever the Rockets were heating up and moving into the playoffs. That, you know, how's Olajuwon going to play because of Ramadan? So it seemed like a fitting city. I like that was a story being told. And you know Vince is gone because it was being told for a babyface that was celebrating a holiday. So, yeah, I think he's out of the picture. But, Tom, a lot of other stuff to talk about on Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely. We have the announcement of a big tag team match scramble kind of coming up for, and it's laying the groundwork for what we're going to see towards WrestleMania. And so it's going to have a ladder match, ultimately a big ladder match at WrestleMania. Plus, we also had the Cody interview segment I thought was really, really engaging. And the opening segment with Drew and Seth. Robert, take it for where you will. What really stood out to you for those most parts of the remainder of Raw?
Drew and Seth was what we had said yesterday. It was going to be Drew's opportunity to address the fact that Seth Rollins is singularly focused on the Bloodline storyline and seemingly ignoring his obligations as world champion. So it gave those guys a chance to kind of remind people, no, this is a match. It's important. We care about what's going to happen here. So I thought that was pretty effective. Cody reframing the narrative for what completing the story means was necessary. Mm-hmm. We all know he wanted to complete the story because he wanted to win the title that Dusty never did. But turning this story now into, I want to win this for, like, almost like a politician, like naming individual people in the crowd, like for the blind girl that saw me here, for the man with cancer over there, wanting to win it for his mom and giving it to her, wanting to win it for his wife who stood by him with bad gimmick after bad gimmick. Talking about the constant changing landscape of the industry with the fact that, you know, he smashed a throne representing Triple H, and now that's his closest business confidant. It felt emotional. It felt earnest. It felt real. And Cole played that, I thought, perfectly.
Fellow Jets fan, too.
Let's not go that far. Let's not sully this great moment here. By the way, I'm going to apologize if you hear there's pressure washing going on my roof. So if you start hearing loud engines or blasts of water, that's what's going on. We're not hosing down an elephant. They're actually building
the Hall of Fame at Robert's place.
That's where the Hall of Fame's. After yesterday, they heard there needs to be a real brick and mortar one. They're putting it here. The six pack challenge. I want to talk about that for a moment. Okay with you, Dom.
Go for it.
On the one hand, disappointed that we're not getting Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the emotional story was R-Truth and Miz beating Finn, beating Priest at the pay-per-view. But with Priest still being the Money in the Bank holder, they don't necessarily want to weaken him or beat him in some capacity. They probably don't want to beat Finn either. So they've constructed this as a way to get a lot of deserving teams on the card. Again, we're smart fans here, guys. We're looking at this intelligently. There are six slots in this match. We already know one of them is occupied by Judgment Day. They said three are coming from Raw, two are coming from SmackDown. Mm-hmm. On the SmackDown side, a lot of tag teams that do not need to be in this match. You've got Street Profits and Authors of Pain, who are probably going to pair off into a six-man. You've got Legado del Fantasma and the LWO, also probably going to pair off in a multi-man match where they'll get an opportunity at Mania. So the two teams that seem most primed to be in that spot would be Pretty Deadly and the New Catch Republic.
Yeah.
Putting Pete Dunne in a ladder match, always a good idea. That leaves three spots open for Raw. A lot of tag teams on Raw, but there's a lot of teams that you kind of want to reward the work they put in over the last year. So I would see DIY finding their way into that match. Awesome Truth, obviously, going to find their way to that match, which leaves one slot open. The teams that they've teased, they teased the Creed Brothers. They teased Inda Share, who I swear really is a tag team. This isn't like AEW, where they just put two guys in masks for a week and then they never see them again. Inda Share's a real tag team, guys. There's the Alpha Academy. There's Imperium. Don't think you need Imperium in the match just because they're going to be out there with Gunther. They're going to get what we would call representation when you're doing the scripts, the rundown. Creed Brothers, they're fine for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Same thing with Indus Share. I feel like you got to put New Day in this, and maybe it's because Alpha Academy loses again, and that's going to further kind of trigger. Chad Gable, who failed at Raw, now he's going to potentially fail getting an opportunity into this tag match, and maybe we're teasing a Chad Gable heel turn and not a Sami Zayn one.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff set up for it, and yeah, I think with it being WrestleMania and all that stuff, and you having these teams that are viable and looking to stand out, you kind of can create some of these highlight moments that might. A WrestleMania moment, so to speak, for somebody that may be unexpected, you know, going into it and have another, you know, build towards another star moving forward. So it's a interest. I like it, Robert. I do like it in comparison to, I think, just a straight up tag match and stuff like that. And yeah,
I like it. And look, if you want to make a WrestleMania moment, if you want to be a part of the showcase of the immortals, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. Guys, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a discreet package. At WrestleMania, we're going to get a six-pack challenge. You just need one pack. You just need one Blue Chew, and you are ready to climb that ladder and grab the briefcase, grab the title, because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners, for our viewers, for our rumor and innuendoins. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. We got it in, Dom. We got it in, and that's what you'll be saying, you Papa Blue Chew.
That's it. That's it, brother.
I don't know why Dom is there, by the way. When you're like, we got it in, Dom. And, you know, he's just on the side in his stupid Jets hat going, yay, great.
Yeah, me and Michael Cole, by the way.
That'd be way worse. You do not want to look over to the right and you see vintage Blue Chew action.
Vintage Blue Chew act. Doing quite the pivot here.
I did not even mean to. All right, I'm going to buffer for 2 seconds before we pivot, because the next thing is actually a very serious topic. Right. And we're sitting here talking about Michael Cole and Dom doing commentary while you're utilizing your Blue Chew in bed with a partner. You know what? Let's flip it. We're going to flip it just for a second, Dom, because we'll stay on Cole for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not a great way of phrasing out, but there's a note here about Michael Cole and Corey Graves.
Yes.
So we can jump to that before we jump to the next piece.
100%. First off, I did want to say how professional Michael Cole did look in that segment. Like, he just looked like a pro, like a Walter Cronkite kind of esque vibe to him during that Cody.
He did, but that suit was awful.
Oh, I love the suit. I was a sucker for the suit. All right. Awful announcing. Has written out, Michael Cole gave an interesting quote regarding a colleague of his. He says it was a matter of time of giving him, meaning Corey Graves, the opportunity to sit side by side for many years to watch, learn, study, see how I do things, Cole said. And at the end of the day, when we gave him that shot, he's been killing it. I believe he's the heir apparent. How about that? So, and obviously, what a sign, him and just Wade Barrett handling the duties at SmackDown. And it seems like, you know, Corey Graves would be a great fit for that. What do you think, Robert?
Corey Graves has been an absolute revelation in commentary. He started as sort of a Heenan-esque heel commentator, but being able to direct traffic the way that he does so seamlessly is really a sight to behold. Corey Graves will probably have that job as long as he wants it. And he's able to make it entertaining while keeping the show moving. Him and Barrett together, I thought heel commentator, how is this going to work? And they made it happen. Corey Graves really did study under Cole. He learned how to become a better announcer, better commentator, and the product overall is better because of it. It's cool to hear Michael Cole acknowledging that. That was a fun little story, a good buffer in between our stuff before we get to the more serious topic here, Dom.
Yes. So there has been some development in that Janelle Grant lawsuit forthcoming. Front Office Sports, this is via my site, SE Scoops, helping out interpret it. The suit claims that Nick Khan, Brad Blum, and then also Stephanie McMahon have been named as some of these corporate officers in the lawsuit. So let me start off with this. The suit claims that Khan, WWE CEO, was instrumental in a scheme that saw Grant hired in an undefined role. Front Office Sports reports, Khan is listed in the paperwork as corporate officer number one alongside COO Brad Blum, who's Officer 2, and Stephanie McMahon as Officer number 3. Vince McMahon presented Blum and Khan to Grant as his key fixers, according to the suit. Now, the suit claims that Khan, WWE CEO, was instrumental in a scheme that saw Grant hired in an undefined role, Front Office Sports also reports. Oh, that's a, I also just read that. But here's what also was said. WWE did issue a statement. WWE takes Mrs. Grant's allegations very seriously and has no tolerance for any physical abuse or unwanted physical contact. Neither Nick Khan nor Brad Blum, prior to the lawsuit being filed on January 25th, 2024, were aware of any allegations by Ms. Grant and that she was the victim of abuse or unwanted physical contact, nor does that complaint allege that either had been no knowledge of such complaint. Sorry. Okay. The suit claims in March of 2021, Grant told McMahon that Khan responded to her introducing herself in a corridor by telling her that he knows exactly who she was. McMahon told her, according to the suit, that Khan had inquired whether Grant could be trusted. Also named in the lawsuit, as I said, is Stephanie. She's mentioned once in the ambiguous context of the suit. She is described as knowing of other instances of McMahon engaging in inappropriate sexual contact and motioned for Grant to sit next near her during a meeting. The meeting in question was said to be among WWE's executive committee, which Grant claims was odd for her not to be present for her to be present for, saying it was far above her pay grade. And also, let's make clear, too, in the lawsuit, Blum, Khan, you know, obviously Stephanie, none of the sexual heinous stuff has been thrown on.
So, yeah, this is where I want to, I'm going to put the lawyer hat on just for a second. And this is just sort of his armchair lawyering, since obviously I'm not directly involved in this case and any of that. But when you look at these charges and you see what they're trying to do by naming Nick Khan, by naming Blum, by naming Stephanie, they're trying to tie the WWE company's actions to the actions of Vince McMahon. And there is a key difference. And if you read the complaint, and I have, there's a key difference between the actions of Vince McMahon or the allegations against Vince McMahon, the actions of John Laurinaitis, the allegations against him, and what these, at that time, unnamed executives were being accused of doing. And essentially what they were theoretically accused of doing was they were told by Vince to find a job for someone. They found a job for this person. It is not at the same level of nefariousness of what Vince and Laurinaitis did. They've said that they have no knowledge whatsoever of any of the underlying complaints that Ms. Grant has levied, that she was forced to engage in unwanted sexual assault or sexual activity, that she was potentially being used and bartered as currency to help procure contracts. This was someone goes to Nick Khan or you know, Mr. Blum and says, Vince wants this woman to have a job. And when is the chairman of the board and the guy who's your boss, you find a job for somebody. I've, you know, anyone that's worked in a corporate environment knows there are people who potentially get hired because of nepotism reasons, because of other outside purposes. And they're said, hire this person. Do we know what Nick Khan necessarily knew? We don't. There is no documented evidence in the agreement complaint that says that here's an email where Vince explicitly says there's a woman I'm having an affair with, find her a job, or text messages to that effect. So it's trying to kind of damn them a little bit, bully the company into trying to force a further settlement. I understand the ploy. I understand the tactics and the techniques that are here. But when you see those headlines, it can be really misleading at first to think that Nick Khan or anybody else was directly involved in the core issues that were at play in this lawsuit. They right. were essentially accused of helping find her a job. There's a lot more I can and want to say about this. I'm not going to now because this will take us down an insane rabbit hole. As far as the Stephanie piece, I don't think that's terribly revelatory simply because we were all aware that when Rena Mero, Sable, left the WWE the first time, she filed a suit, a sexual harassment suit against the WWE, making allegations about Vince. So that in and of itself constitutes her knowledge of what may or may not have occurred. If there's other information, other documentation, I'm sure they will bring that forward in this lawsuit. But looking at it right now, seeing the very clickbaity headlines versus actually taking a step back and seeing what it is, it's not this massive smoking gun that some people want to think that it is. I know a lot of other people were celebrating because they thought Hunter was going to be one of those named executives, and he was not. So more on this as it develops. Obviously, the timing of this as they get to WrestleMania, they want as much publicity as possible to help their cause in a lawsuit. When you're engaged in these sorts of legal actions, that's kind of what you want to do. You want to be part of the news cycle. You want to be in the headlines. You want to make it so that they want this to go away and are willing to pay whatever it takes to make this thing stop. But that's where we are. Let's move on to something fun. What's the next topic? Hopefully something more fun. Give me something happy. I want something warm and happy. And next up, we've got AEW news. What's the AEW news, Dom?
Yes. Sadly, there's been a breakup. Shucks. CJ Perry and Miro have announced that they're getting a divorce. TMZ Sports said they have split once and for all. And CJ Perry did issue a statement on it. Mira and I have made the difficult decision to separate after many wonderful years together and have decided to move on as friends and hopefully on-screen characters somewhere down the road. Robert, typically I don't like covering relationship stuff and anything like that when it comes to things, but two prominent figures in wrestling, notable couple in wrestling. Life on the road is tough. And if you're in separate companies, if you're doing different things, you can naturally fall apart in certain ways or feel separated from one another.
Well, they are part of the same company since they're both in AEW, but both of them also sort of have that commonality of not being used very well by AEW when they were there. So it's unfortunate. It seems, based on, you know, CJ's social media posts over the years, that it has been a little bit of volatility within that relationship. It's unfortunate that it's ending, but you know, sometimes these things happen, and hopefully they both find a path forward to what it is that will make them happy. I know Miro has also been sidelined with his injuries, CJ with their finger injury, which was quite serious. We've talked about that here before. They've said they're open to continuing to work together. So there is the possibility that this could be a Savage Elizabeth situation for a while, where on screen they're still able to interact, even though privately they are no longer married. But it is what it is.
Yep. True. True. It's You know.
See where I'm teeing you up for the next story there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes. L.A. Knight had some comments regarding Kevin Nash and what Kevin Nash has had to say about him. Earlier on the Click This podcast, which I happen to be social media guy for. So how about that?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What show do you not work for at this point? Like, you are like the ubiquitous man. This isn't even the plugs. This is me genuinely not knowing that you're the social media guy for Click This.
I thought I told you that.
No.
Yeah, I am.
Why is it you got – so let me get – so you're doing the social media work for R, doing the social media work for Click This. You got Rob Van Dam. You got Magnum TA. You got Greg Gagne. And I'm the one booking the guests. Right? I'm the one reaching out to my Rolodex and saying, like, this Friday we got Dan St. Germain on. We're going to have Blue Meanie coming up in a couple of weeks. Dom, holding back all of his people, a gatekeeper – what did L.A. Knight have to say about the brilliant Kevin Nash?
Sure. So – he said, so he was flat out on a grilled position interview. He said, no, I've had conversations with his friends. So regarding Kevin about it, and they've all been like, don't listen to this stuff, whatever. I'm going to do what am I going to do? Worry about that? In a certain sense, there is one part of me that's like, if this guy wants to take food off my table, that's cool. It's a piece of a shit move, I'll just say, but that's cool.
Wow. I like how you tried to censor yourself and then went with it. It's a piece of S, and then you just blurted it out.
But that's cool. At the same time, why am I going to bother thinking too much about it? We've talked about LA Knight plenty of times on here, Robert, and you've expressed thoughts on him. I've expressed some thoughts on him too. What do you think of those comments? And Kevin Nash giving his blunt input about LA Knight over the past, it's been several episodes on Click This. He's done that.
We're not dumb. We all know who Kevin Nash's good, close, personal friends are. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of in the name of his show. So when you hear Kevin Nash bagging on LA Knight and criticizing what he's seeing with LA Knight, you know that that's also probably being privately discussed or at least messaged to Triple H and Shawn Michaels, who do hold some sway in that company, Dom. They have a little bit of a say there. So this is LA Knight kind of strike back and make it aware, like, hey, I'm aware of what you guys are probably hearing. This is ridiculous. It's beneath anybody. Nash has been in the business a long time. He's allowed to proffer his opinion. I don't think his opinions are necessarily overly controversial. Like, a lot of people have looked at LA Knight and said this guy has really – he's outkicked his coverage, but – he has not really demonstrated that he is a top-tier main event superstar. He's done fine in the positions that they put him in, but it's a very cutthroat time right now. There's guys we didn't even get a chance to talk to, like Jey Uso going into his feud with Jimmy Uso. I think Jey Uso is positioned to rise up the card a little bit. Sami Zayn's obviously going to be there. Bron Breakker is showing people that he's probably going to be a player. LA Knight is fine. But him versus AJ Styles feels at about the level that he should be at for WrestleMania. This is Knight trying to, you know, poke the bear a little bit and see what Hunter probably is going to do in return. And no, poke the bear, not the way we're going to go to another Blue Chew ad promo code rumor. But Dominic.
Yes.
People want to hear you elsewhere with all the more important people that you do shows and podcasts with. Where can they hear you?
Oh, Robert Furst, right up there with him. But yeah, you can see me on One of a Kind with RVD, Rob Van Dam. New episode just dropped yesterday at 4:20 p.m. We cover a lot of ground, including Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame induction. Who should induct him? Should it be RVD? Should it be somebody else? We talk about it. Also, today, dropped a new episode of Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. We cover the Remco figures. Greg dives in deep of how Vern Gagne's training process went down. Back in Minnesota, during in the barn, all that stuff. Really interesting conversation. Check it out. Go to GagneMagnum.com. Go to RVDTV.com. Follow me on X at Dominic D'Angelo. And Robert, what do you got cooking? We got Dan St. Germain coming up. We got a lot of good stuff on tap.
Dan St. Germain will be joining us on Friday. He's my co-host on Wrestle Roast. More importantly, Dan is an incredibly talented comedian that you may have seen on Conan O'Brien, Comedy Central. He's done the Comedy Central roast. He did the roast of Ric Flair, which was a hell of a lot of fun for our friends at Ad Free Shows. He's got a comedy special called Dance Fatty Dance. It premieres tonight on YouTube. The exact time is 8 p.m. Eastern. I'll be tweeting out the link. It's under 800-pound Gorilla Media is going to be releasing this. I was there live for the taping, Dom. It was it's hilarious. It's a great comedy special if you're a wrestling fan. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, there's I don't think there's any actual direct wrestling jokes in it, but insanely funny, wildly talented comedian. Absolutely worth taking the time to go check that out. I'll be tweeting that out on my Twitter account, WWCreative_ish, which is also where you can catch this very show streaming every day at noon Eastern, as well as on the Podcast Heat X account, the SE Scoops S account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account. And we're on YouTube today. We're back on the Ad Free Shows YouTube today. Take that, Jarrett.
Yeah.
Take that, J-E-double-F. I don't know. We're firing off at him. But on behalf of the fired up Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Hat tip to fellow Jets fan Michael Cole.